the mindset that if you just add water to a person, then you got a Christian. Well, that isn't how it works. There's a little bit more to it. And this morning we're going to dive into Scripture to see what the Bible says about baptism and its importance in our life. And I am so glad to be a part of the Christian church restoration movement because we have no one outside of the church telling us what to teach on baptism, but we rely solely on what Scripture says. Going back to that ancient culture and that ancient Greek language and using that as our basis, because you having a clear understanding of baptism is extremely important. And if you have not been baptized, I hope you listen closely this morning. If you have been baptized this morning, this holiday season that's coming up, Thanksgiving and Christmas, this is the time of the year where people kind of start thinking about Jesus and possibly church. And you may have a family get-together. You may have a Christmas party at work. You may have a party with some friends. And you might just have the opportunity to share what you know and why you yourself being baptized was such a monumental decision that you made for yourself. And you'll be able to perhaps answer some of the tough questions that some people ask when it comes to baptism and what the Bible says and why you believe what you believe. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." We talked last week that the old is gone. That when you're in Christ, the old life, we talked that it's buried to not be resurrected ever again. It's buried. And then you step into a new life. And Paul uses this imagery of going into water in Romans chapter 6, symbolizing a burial. That you've surrendered your life, you've died to yourself, said, "I'm going to bury the old life in that water and come up new, a new person in Christ." And I want you to be clear on this. It's not water that saves you, but it's Jesus. It's Jesus' death on the cross, the blood that he shed, the giving of his life, and then 3 days later, he arose from the dead, giving us the promise that that too can happen for us. But you have to be found in Jesus Christ and submit yourself to baptism. And we'll step through this morning in Scripture. I want to pose questions this morning because in conversation, questions come up. And some of these questions, maybe you've wondered yourself. Some of these questions, perhaps, people have asked you, and you've not quite understood what to say, or you're just a little unsure of yourself. And so, I want you, first service, they did okay. I'm counting on second service to really pull through. We're going to have some class participation this morning. I want you, and they're on the screen, you're going to ask me the question, I'll give you the answer. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Excellent, but we'll do better on the next one, I know it. Why do we need to be baptized? I'm glad that you asked. Well, for starters, Jesus commands it. You go to Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.'" Another portion of Scripture, in Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus says, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." It's pretty easy to see in Scripture that Jesus took baptism very seriously. That this was an expectation that Jesus had on those who wanted to be his disciples, to follow after him. And that's you and I today. That he commands it, and Jesus takes this very seriously. Baptism expresses several things. Scripture teaches us that it's an act of obedience, that we're being obedient to what it is that Jesus calls us to do. When you're baptized, the Bible describes that you're now clothed in Christ, or that now you're in Christ, or that you're united with Christ. And so Jesus says, in Scripture, you need to have this. You need to be baptized. Baptism is a point of identification with Jesus. You identify with your Lord. It also is a cleansing. It demonstrates your devotion and express repentance. It offers relief from sins. Those of you who have been baptized, you might remember how you felt after you came out of that water. Perhaps a sense of relief or a burden lifted. And that's the cleansing of our sins. that we can have a good conscience. In 1 Peter 3, verse 21, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like having the burden of your sins lifted. And Jesus carries those sins for you so that you don't have to feel the weight of that any longer. People also, they'll ask, well, why should I, really? I mean, why should I? Another reason is that Jesus was baptized. Jesus led by example in this. In Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. You see, Jesus was willing to obey his Father. He was obedient in this way. And so Jesus takes this very seriously for you and for me, that we be obedient to God's call in our lives. So yes, we should be baptized. Question number two. Go. Good job. How young is too young to be baptized? Some children are baptized early enough that they really don't recollect it or don't remember it at all. Some are sprinkled as infants. But the Bible teaches that baptism is an expression of your faith. It's a conscious decision that you make for yourself. And as parents, we like to make decisions for our kids. There are some decisions we know they just won't do a very good job, and so we'll make the decision for them. And it's hard as your kids age to let them kind of branch out and make their own choices, but you know they got to figure things out, they got to learn, they got to get bumps and bruises along the way, but it'll be okay. But in the matter of baptism, the Bible teaches that it's not our decision as a parent, but it's an individual decision that you make personally for yourself with the Lord. And so you ask, how young is too young to be baptized? I refer to a term called the age of accountability, where you realize individually, no one's telling you this. You might have a parent guiding you with a gentle hand. You may have a Sunday school teacher guiding you with a gentle hand. But it comes to the point where you realize, I have sin in my life. The sin in my life separates me from God for eternity. And the only way to bridge the gap is Jesus. That's why he died on the cross and arose 3 days later to give me an eternal promise. And we realize the weight of our sin separates us from God, that our sin offends God, and we can never do anything ourselves to change that. It's all about Jesus. And so, I realize I have to make a decision. Not because I'm forced, not because someone's telling me I should, but because I feel in my inner core that this is a decision that needs to be made. I typically have a rule of thumb, probably not any kids under the age of 8. But it can go either way. Some kids are a little more mature than others. But that's kind of what we believe as a church. Question number 3. Go. Good job. You haven't fell asleep on me yet. This is a really important question. This is something that's been debated throughout church history for the last about 1,800 years. Why does this church immerse and not sprinkle for baptism? Well, there's two reasons. The first reason is we go back to that ancient Greek language. And when you see the word baptize in the New Testament, every single time it's translated to the Greek word baptizo. Now, there is a Greek word for sprinkle, but it is not used ever in reference to someone being baptized. It is always the word immerse. And the Greek word baptizo means to be immersed or submerged, to go into a body of water. And so, as a church, we believe each time this reference is made, that it refers to someone being immersed. And that's how we see that baptism is accomplished. A person hears the word of God. That's the first step. You hear the word of God. Then you have to come to a belief that you heard it, but you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, then you're not going to come into a saving relationship with Jesus. You hear God's word, and then you believe it. You believe it to the point that you see in Scripture that then we are to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that we are to be repentant of our sins. And an infant can't make those decisions for themselves. And so that's why we believe that baptism is by immersion. Another reason is why what it symbolizes. It symbolizes a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul speaks of this, that going into the waters of baptism resembles what happened to Christ, that he died, he was laid to rest in a tomb, and 3 days later he arose from the dead to a new life. We die to ourselves. We put down our pride and say, it's only Jesus that can save me. We die to ourselves. We are laid to rest in a watery tomb and arose to a new life. Baptism is a symbol of what Jesus went through on our behalf. And I've never talked to someone who was sprinkled as an infant, but later in life decided to be immersed, and they said, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I've never had that conversation. Rather, the conversation goes another way. They'll say, I feel a completion of what my faith is all about. That my parents wanted to raise me and to love God and to know God. They dedicated me in a way as an infant. They were going to point you towards a relationship with Jesus. But now making this choice for myself, I feel a completion. I feel like I've made things right personally between me and the Lord by deciding to be immersed. And if you've been sprinkled, immersion, this isn't a debate, but this is just a decision. It's a personal decision for you and for God. Question number 4. Been asked this many times. And I would say yes. If you were baptized perhaps as a youngster and maybe someone kind of coaxed you to do it, or maybe it was at a church camp or a revival and all your friends were doing it and you really didn't know what you were doing or why you were doing it, and you feel that maybe I should, then I would say yes. Go right ahead. Or if you remember being baptized but you know you weren't repentant, you just kind of went through the motions and did it because that's what a good Christian person is supposed to do. And you feel the weight of that, then I'd say yes. But I want you to know something when it comes to this. Each and every one of us, we're all learning and growing. We all go through circumstances in life where we'll have some hang-ups and bang-ups, we'll make some mistakes, and sometimes we feel bad about it, and we think, you know, God probably didn't really like that I did that, and maybe I should get rebaptized. You're kind of pushing aside that Jesus died for you, and that his death is far greater than your sin. His forgiveness is so much greater than sometimes what we realize. It would be like if you were a married couple, and every time you had a fight, you had to get remarried. The preacher's charge isn't going to change. I hope you know that. Maybe that would start getting some couples to have a little better relationship. You know, we wouldn't do that. You wouldn't get remarried just because you had an argument with your spouse and you had to sleep on the couch. And the same thing when it comes to our Christian walk. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but his death on the cross covers that. Now, if I have someone that comes to me and they feel like they have kind of really, the train left the tracks and it went way off, and maybe for a really long period of time, and they have felt the weight of their sin and the mistakes that they made, and I would never tamp out someone's expression wanting to reconnect with God in a very special way because they're very passionate about wanting to be rebaptized. I would say, yeah, let's do this. You're rededicating yourself to the Lord. And I would never derail that. I would say, yes, let's do this. That is awesome. All right, the next question, number 6. Okay, number 5. If I get baptized, do I have to become a member of this church? Connie's fast back there on the trigger. I just looked up and saw 5 and thought it was supposed to be 6. No, you don't. We would love you to. If you are baptized, we would welcome you with open arms. And what I want you to know is that when you're baptized, you're not baptized into the church. And there is a line of thinking that that's what happens. When you are baptized into Jesus. And then you become a part of God's church, his family, universally. You just identify yourself to a local church by joining. And so we would welcome you with open arms if you make the decision to be immersed, to give your life to Jesus. Honestly, that's the only requirement we have of being a member of the Painted Christian Church, is that you have been immersed in the Jesus Christ. You're not baptized into this church, but you can be a part of this church, a part of this fellowship, a part of this family. And I want you to know something, that getting baptized so you can be a part of the church, that's not the goal. That's not the being getting to become a member of a church. Well, if I got to get baptized, do that. Then that's not the only reason. The reason you submit yourself and are immersed into Jesus is so that you can be identified with Christ, so that your sins can be forgiven, so that you can have the promise of eternity, so you can have the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is why we make the decision to get baptized. Number six. Do I have to be baptized? You remember in grade school, the teacher'd say, "Now you know there's no stupid questions." Remember that? And as you aged, you realized, yep, there's stupid questions. This isn't a stupid question. In my mind, it's just the wrong question. In view of what Jesus went through for you, it's simply the wrong question to ask. That Jesus was arrested, put on a mock trial, beaten to within one more scourge of death, to the point that he was unrecognizable, a crown of thorns pressed down on his forehead, carrying his own cross, being insulted as he went up to the top of that hill, being nailed through his hands and his feet to that cross, being stripped of his clothing, and letting that cross drop into that hole, being left to die, being mocked and embarrassed. And when you consider that, this is the wrong question to ask. Instead of, do I have to be baptized, perhaps that should be changed to, I get to be baptized. When I started going back to church when I was in my senior year of high school, I kind of had that same question. I grew up in church. I knew the Sunday school stories. As a teenager, I quit going to church. I started dating Trista, and her family said, if you're going to date this guy, he has to go to church. And so I started going to church. And I'd hear the preacher preach about baptism and all this stuff from Sunday school when I was a kid started rushing back into my mind. And I remember one day driving down the road with Trista, and she just looked at me and said, have you ever been baptized? I said, no. And she said, why not? And I said, well, do I have to? And she said, yeah. And I said, why? Because it's in the Bible. It says you're supposed to. And it really got me to thinking, yeah, this is the wrong question to ask. Rather than, should I? It changed my mind to, why wouldn't I? If Jesus was willing to go to that extent for me, then I should be willing to yield my life, to give my life to him for the one who's already given his life for me. And for many, Satan makes baptism a barrier rather than a benchmark point of your life. And he deceives us in this way. And when I'm asked, should I or do I have to get baptized? It's usually for one of two reasons. One, perhaps that person just hasn't been taught biblically. They've been taught otherwise. Or they're just not willing to yield their life. But today might be the right time to say, do I have to or I can? I get to. Some people will say, well, maybe I got to get some things in order. You know, I haven't been going to church. Maybe I should read my Bible for a year. Come to church a little more often. You know, I got these things I like to do. I probably should stop them. And once I stop them, no. It's like going to the YMCA and going to swim in the pool. Before you get out there to the pool in the locker room, there's that sign on the wall that says what? Before you enter the pool, you must shower. I think the only people that follow that sign are the same people that floss every day. No, I've never seen anyone shower before they head into the swimming pool, right? And here's what I know. Behind the stage, there's no shower room where you've got to get all cleaned up before you can get in that baptistry. Jesus says, come as you are. With your hang-ups and your bang-ups, I'm not going to change it for you. You can't change it all on your own, but Jesus can. Jesus can change those things that need changed. And so he just says, just come as you are. You remember the old hymn sung after every Billy Graham crusade? Just as I am. Just come as you are. And have the mindset of, I have to do this? No, you get to. You get to do this because of what Jesus has done. Question number 7. It's the same as the first one, so this should be easy. Why do we need to be baptized? Well, let's go back to the early church. A river is purest at its source. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Paul preaches a sermon, and people in Jerusalem are stirred, and he has their ear. And at the end of the sermon, he says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I love the book of Acts. It shows us what God had intended for the church. And you look at Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19. In all of those chapters in the book of Acts, you have examples of people being baptized, and they make a conscious decision to repent of their sins and to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it teaches us that they were immersed in baptism and that their sins were forgiven. The same thing that happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, happened for those people, and it can happen for you too. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I would urge you to really consider what it is that Jesus has done for you. Jesus walked 60 miles to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. Could you walk just a few feet? Would you be willing to yield your life to Jesus Christ and let Him save you from your sins, to give you the hope and the promise of eternal life in heaven, where God is preparing a place for us? Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commands." I want to tell you a story of a lady that we baptized at the church at St. Olmo. She was a funny lady. She was rough around the edges. She was pushing 80 years old. She just came in off the street one day and for no reason just came to church. Got to know her and made a relationship with this lady, and she really gravitated towards Trista, and we had lots of conversations, and one day she just showed up in the office and said, "You know, I don't have many days left, and I don't know that I've really made myself right with God, and if this baptism thing's something you're supposed to do, I really feel like I probably better do it." And so we started to talk about it a little bit more in depth, and we talked about getting into water, and she has to go under. All of a sudden, she kind of changed. She said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I'm frightened of water. I can barely take a shower. When I was a teenager, I almost drowned in a pond, and I've never went back into the water ever again, except for to bathe." She said, "I'm just scared to death." And she said the other thing that made her even more scared is she wears a wig. She'd had cancer. And so we talked through how we could make this happen. And so a few days later, she came, and Tristan and I both got into the baptistry to help baptize her together so that she'd feel more comfortable. Her toe hit that water, and she just started shaking. She had her wig really pinned up. She said, "I'm not too worried about that." I said, "Hey, if your wig falls off, I think Jesus is going to give you brand new hair when you get to heaven anyhow." And as she started into that water, she was just shaking almost uncontrollably. And she's taking deep breaths, and I was coaching her, "It's going to be okay. I won't leave you under long. We'll get right out of here." And as soon as she got to the bottom of that baptistry and stood there, she just, like a peace came over her. We did the baptism. We got her out. She had a few family members there, and she said, "You know what? I was scared to death my wig was going to fall off. I was scared to death of that water, but the thing that scared me the most was knowing what might happen to me if I didn't do this." Pretty big decision. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to yield your life to Jesus Christ. And so I encourage anyone here this morning that's not made that decision to start considering it, to maybe have that conversation. Make today a no-excuse day. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing a song, and I want to read this verse to you. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, the writer of Hebrews writes this: "Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart." I remember being a teenager, had a pretty hardened heart. Until one day, my girlfriend, who's my wife now, just said a few simple words. And it really got me thinking, and it softened my heart. And I hope as you've heard me read from Scripture about baptism, and you've asked some of these questions, that maybe some of your questions have been answered. And hopefully maybe it's stirring your heart to make a decision one day. And we have a time of invitation on a Sunday morning, and I've said this before, this isn't the only time that decisions can be made. That my door is open any time to have a conversation about your salvation. I encourage you, if you have thoughts, you feel maybe the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, as we read in Acts chapter 2, to not put it off, but to have that conversation. There are other people in this church besides me who are Christians that if you came to them, they would love to talk to you. They would love to talk to you and see what's on your mind and what's on your heart and help point you in the direction of Jesus. And then the rest of us who have made that decision to be a follower of Christ, you've been immersed in Jesus and He has forgiven you of your sins. As we worship in this song, give God the praise that He's due for what He has done for you. Let's stand and let's worship.